Welcome back to the Clear Voice podcast, and my oh my, hasn't it been a ride? We started recording in December 2019 for series two, and everything got a little bit delayed because of the pandemic. And now here we are in August 2020, recording the last episode, episode 10. And it's really exciting. And for anyone new here, I just wanted to give you a rundown of what is Clear Voice and why does it exist. So Clear Voice started when I was looking for some new female role models. I was working in a very patriarchal environment and I was very much silenced and there were no female role models. And I had to take a real step back, find some female role models, use all my operatic and classical training of being able to be heard by thousands of people and really channel it into everything that I was doing. And part of that was the podcast, because when I was looking for these female role models, I realized that there aren't enough. There are plenty of role models in the domestic, but there are not enough role models in business, in careers, in like female founders. I did some research and 30% of people said their mum and their sister was their female role model. And the rest pretty much, without exception, said Michelle Obama. And if we have all these amazing female role models in our lives, like if everyone's mum and sister is really inspirational, then why is it that there are more CEOs in the FTSE 500 called Steve than there are women? Because if just by a simple game of numbers we work that out, of everybody's mum and sister in the country, just in the UK, there are many, 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 many more of them than even like 500. We could probably have 1,000 female CEOs for each company. But instead, we have one, of course, because CEO is a single position. And most of them are men. And there are more called Steve than there are female ones. So there's a really big disconnect there between all the apparently inspirational women that we have and people who are actually rising to the top. So there's that. And then there's also the fact that whenever I tell anybody, read men, whenever I tell any men what I do, even if they are the most well-meaning, most lovely men, a lot of them say, oh, why only women? And it always catches me, it shouldn't, but it always does, it always catches me off guard that people really find a gendered space that is only for women a problem. And, you know, a lot of people would find a black-only space a problem, or Hispanic-only space a problem. And the people that would find those a problem would be the oppressors. So white people or men, generally, very generally speaking here. Broad strokes, people, broad strokes. And so when people ask me that question, it really puts that fire in my belly, because I just think, wow, we are so far away from this ever being solved. There are podcasts like Joe Rogan's podcast, which have a tiny, tiny proportion of women. But no one's saying, oh, Joe, why is it only men really on your podcast? Because we accept these male spaces and we accept them as the norm. And if even if they were doing that, what would the answer be? Oh, I can't really find any women. It just doesn't really work. The dynamic's not the same. I would love to hear from him. But really, you know, all these questions invariably come from men and men that benefit from the patriarchy. So that's why Clear Voice exists. Because women don't have a voice and we don't have a space. And when we do have a space and a voice, people question it. And they need to not. We need to be able to have that. And then the Clear Voice philosophy. Having said all of that, the Clear Voice philosophy is all about welcoming and inclusion. So if a man wants to come and learn, he is more than welcome. 40% of the listeners on this podcast are male. So hey guys, welcome. Thanks for sticking by. Thanks for listening to all the lady narratives. I'm not about being another feminist organization talking so wonderfully to each other all the time and really making a difference in each other's lives, and all about women in this massive echo chamber of feminism and activism, but not including anyone from the outside world. The patriarchy has to be involved. And a big part of the Clear Voice philosophy is speaking to everyone and having conducive conversations and having conversations that actually make a change. rather than having a rant at someone, be it your female friend or your male colleague, it's about asking questions like, how do you feel? Do you ever have to hold your keys in your hand at night when you're walking home? Which normally the answer is no, if you're a male. And so really kind of having those good, positive, change-worthy conversations and including men, because it's empowering women to speak out in a way that will get them heard. That is what Clear Voice is about, in a way that will get you heard. And I'm sure that if I went out into the street and shouted really, really, really loudly, everyone would hear that there was noise, but they would not necessarily hear what I was saying. And Clear Voice is all about having those conversations that actually make people heard and giving people the skills to do that. And that's what the podcast is about, is talking to accomplished women who have done that, who have their voices heard, and saying, okay, how did you get there? What did you do to make you have a voice that is being heard? And at the moment, it's about playing a game of communication. A game of communication, as I said, kind of playing that game of asking good questions and having good conversations and really getting your foot in the door of the patriarchy and of people's minds and thinking, okay, how can we change this? And if you're in a very, very male-dominated environment at work and everybody talks about football, but you're not a woman that likes football, rather than thinking, oh, I can never get a word in edgeways here, I can never build those personal relationships, it's about, okay, fine, I'll learn a little bit about football, I'll invest 10 minutes at the end of every week, I'll choose a team and I'll look at what's going on. And then going in to work on a Monday or on a Zoom, as we are now, but then going into work and then having those conversations, putting that little bit of work in so that you can build those personal relationships. Not every conversation is going to be about football, but if that football conversation gets you in the door and builds that personal relationship so that you can turn that conversation round to what did you do at the weekend? How's your partner? How are your children? Are you going anywhere over the summer? Then going, getting to know that person and then building that rapport so that you have influence. That is what I'm talking about. And that is how we dismantle the patriarchy. Softly, softly. From the inside out. And I anticipate and I hope that the way I will have to teach that will change for a number of reasons. Firstly, that power is changing hands. It is coming into the hands of more women, but it is also being handed down to the hands of younger men. Younger men who, as a patriarchy, won't behave in the same way as this patriarchy, but will still hold it up and it will still persist, the patriarchy, because people, whatever system of oppression, wherever it is benefiting people, it will persist until it is dismantled. So even though we think of all the sexist CEOs as being 60-year-old white men, it will change and that power will be handed down and the patriarchy will evolve and it will operate in a different way that still manages to exclude women. So I do think, you know, everything is going to change and we'll have to react and adapt. And also tech is going to be a part of that and the new generation. But in no way do I think the patriarchy is going to just retire. So it's about thinking about how we can change that, how we can dismantle it, persisting and taking that action. And also, being part of that, Clear Voice is really about advocacy. And about advocacy on every level. Not just women. Because as an intersectional feminist organisation, it is incredibly important that we don't just amplify the voices of white women and silence the voices of other marginalized women, such as gay women, trans women, black women, all women of color. It is completely wrong to fight against one system of oppression, the patriarchy, whilst uplifting another of white supremacy. The podcast is all about women from all different backgrounds, all different walks of life, socioeconomic backgrounds, heritages, child-free by choice, child-free not by choice, mothers, old, young, all. And in the work Clear Voice does, it's all about making sure that we are advocating for the less marginalized. So in one situation, I might be marginalized, but in another, I might be marginalizing someone else. So it's really important to always check that and think, okay, am I advocating for the lesser heard voices in the room? And bring it all back, it's important to include everyone in the conversation, especially men. Because ultimately they have the power. They are also generally, let's not forget, taking 50% responsibility for raising the next generation. And we need them to be raising strong feminist boys. And we need them to be raising strong feminist girls as well. So really including everyone in the conversation, making sure that everyone has an equal voice, and not forgetting men, because we need them on side to raise the next generation of powerful women and empathetic boys. Let's talk about the effect of lockdown on women. KCL and Ipsos Mori did a study in May, that is 2020 if you're listening to this in the future, that women have taken on average 7 hours of childcare and men have taken on average an extra 5. I think that we're all kind of hoping that lockdown has been this great leveller. Obviously, it has been a horrendous time for many people and their families, but there will be some positives to come out of this experience for some. And people are hoping that it has been this leveller in the domestic world, that suddenly women who are the primary caregivers are at home with their families and also with their partners and husbands. And so we kind of hope that men now see this and have this great epiphany that they also have to take on the childcare if we're all going to still work, if women are going to work. And, you know, it is encouraging that men are taking on 5 extra hours, but that women have also taken on 7 extra hours. Let's remember that childcare doesn't necessarily mean other domestic labour such as cleaning, stripping beds, planning meals, going shopping, bathing, bedtime, emotional support of children, emotional support of spouses. So there's still a lot of time that isn't accounted for in this survey that could well still be being done by the woman that the men might necessarily not have taken on. Although men are taking on more labour, we've still got a way to go, guys. But well done for making a start. As they say, it is the hardest part. Another statistic from the same study is that 43% of men say the extra responsibility has affected their jobs, compared to 32% of women. And I find this interesting because why is it? Why is it that there's a 10% difference? That is quite a large statistical difference. Is it because as women we're used to juggling lots of different things and that we're used to our work suffering and trying to mitigate for that? I don't know. Or is it that men are really not used to their work suffering? And then suddenly they are. It's interesting. And then the final stat to come out of this survey is whether we think the world will change after this, whether all this remote working and men doing more childcare and work being more flexible, whether this will change the world in the future. And 49% of women think that it won't change, compared to 39% of men. And this is interesting as well, because I think this comes from, as women, we're always told, oh, this is the change. This is going to make the change for you. You're going to be able to do this. For example, when we go for jobs, there's flexible working. You get the job and then actually it's flexible working only on a Friday afternoon because that's when the rest of the office, read the men, go to the pub. True story. Or it's, yeah, there's flexible working. Apart from you can only really take it when your manager is also in the office, but the manager is there on a Wednesday, you have a client you need to see on a Tuesday, every Tuesday, so that flexible working isn't there for you. Or, yeah, there's flexible working, but actually it really depends on your manager, and your manager isn't particularly fond of that. I think as women, we're a little bit more sceptical about all these big changes and the progress that we're always promised, and it just not materialising. However, I do think that 49% of men thinking that it will change is really positive, because before, when men weren't having to do as much of the childcare, those 5 hours of childcare that they're now doing, they may not have seen how necessary flexible working is and how much actually being able to begin work an hour or 2 hours earlier, leave work 2 hours earlier, or work from home, how being able to do those things massively affects your life and your children's life and the running of your household. And now a lot more people are having to make those sacrifices. And so 50% of men thinking that it will change is heartening to me, because I feel like that's actually 50% more people who are able to make the change. And when we have more people wanting to make the change will happen quicker. And there have also been other effects, specifically the effect on mental health on women. The University of Essex, on the 8th of June 2020, published a study on the percentage of people reporting at least one severe underlying mental health problem before lockdown, as opposed to after. So for men, 7% of men reported one serious underlying mental health problem before lockdown, as opposed to 18% after. And for women, it was 11% before and 27% after. There's been a lot of talk about the extra pressures that lockdown has given women. And although, as I mentioned, men are taking on more of a domestic role, and it's been brilliant to get some auto replies back from male colleagues that I've been emailing to say, I'm only working between these hours because I am taking on childcare responsibilities the rest of the time. And that's really heartening. However, it does not take away, as I mentioned earlier, the fact that women are the primary caregivers and that there is so much more around running a household. And all this pressure, as well as dealing with the emotional well-being of their family, all this puts a huge pressure on women. And I really think that we see this outlined in these statistics. So ultimately, it has been a pretty tough time. And I think we're going to see even tougher times come. But hopefully, with more people experiencing what it's like to be at home and the realities of being at home, and more people realising that actually flexible working, remote working is possible, this should lead to some good progress for women. Something we fail to remember a lot of the time is the power of the words that we use. And that is the words that we use to describe ourselves, to describe others, to describe women, to describe men, to describe children. And I'm going to start with a child and then we'll end with adults. So my niece is 6 years old and we bought her the Rebel Girls book for Christmas, I think, last year. And for anyone who hasn't read it yet or hasn't given it to their friends' children or your own children or your nieces and nephews or godchildren, it is an amazing, amazing book for boys as well as girls. And it's all stories about brilliant, successful women and how they overcame struggles in their lives. And one of them was Coco Chanel, and my niece was really taken with it. And it was during lockdown and she made with her mum, then they were doing homeschooling, they made little detachable clothes for Coco Chanel to go in her workbook. And the story was about how Coco Chanel wanted to be a fashion designer, but the gist of it is the boy said, you can't do it because you're a girl. Which is quite a big thing, especially, you know, I think when you're that age as well, gender is a really big definer in who you are. Especially, you know, we gender children a lot when we think about when people say that they're pregnant. Oh, do you know what you're having? Is it a boy or a girl? So gender plays a massive role from such a young age. And when you're a child, boys and girls, it is a big definer. And it's something that divides you. And my niece really took this, you can't do it because you're a girl. She took it and used it as an affirmation, which I find fascinating and amazing. She got a prize for French and her parents took her to get a treat and she bought this top which says you can on it. And we were with her at the playground and she was on the slide and she was at the top of the slide and she was really scared. And she said, say you can't do it because you're a girl. Say you can't do it because you're a girl. And we said it and you see her change. When someone challenges her on that, she's like, no, I can. And then, you know, she still felt a bit scared. And we said, no, look at your t-shirt. It says you can, you can. And you could see her face became so much more determined. And it took her a few goes. And we were like, you can't do it because you're a girl. You can't do it because you're a girl. But look at your t-shirt. It says you can. It says you can. A proper good cop, bad cop situation. And in the end, she did it. And she went down the slide. And she was so proud of herself. And we were so proud of her. And it just shows the power of language, the real power of language, and also the power of mindset. Her mindset there was that she needed that challenge, that you can't do it because you're a girl. And she has a strong mindset. And she says, no, I can. And that's really reinforced by her t-shirt, which says, you can. And equally, it could have been so flipped that someone heard that in a different environment. Not from a book where it was framed as a success story, that someone took it because Coco Chanel took it as, I don't listen to that. I don't take that in my life. If you say you can't do it as a girl, I don't subscribe to that. My niece then also did the same. But if that was said to her in the playground, would she have had that same reaction? I don't know. I like to think so because she's feisty. Also, we only use feisty about women. No feisty men anywhere. So correct myself on that. You know, she is. She's assertive and she's a strong-willed person. And I just thought it was very, very interesting how, because that phrase was presented to her as a phrase of strength and a phrase of motivation, that she really took that on board. And for her, that was her mantra and her phrase of strength and motivation. My second word is power. Now, power is so often conflated with success, and it is seen as both a measurement of success and a judgment of how successful you are is how much power you have. That being mainly at work. But for women, it is difficult because power has been for so long owned by the masculine. And Helen Morrissey talks about it in her book, It's a Good Time to Be a Girl. And people often expect this book to be a manifesto of how to, quote unquote, have it all. Because Dame Helen Morrissey has 9 children and she manages or did manage a $1 billion fund. She was the first woman to do so. But it's not actually, it's an amazing manifesto for change and diversity. So do read it. And she talks about powerful and how in a Forbes 2016, she was part of the 100 most powerful women that magazine did a feature on. And they were world beating, the smartest and toughest, formidable women. And these qualities are aspirational for men, but they're not necessarily aspirational for women, but they are so tied up in what power is and how we see power. And the notion that to be successful, you have to take on this masculine mantra of the alpha, to be world-beating, to be formidable, to be a ball breaker. And so by not doing that, by being female and feminine and empathetic and having these quote-unquote soft skills, we can't be successful. And I wonder how much that stops us from succeeding, because the people who are generally giving the power and giving the promotions are men, and that those power and promotions are given when you are more successful. And if you cannot be successful because you're not world beating or formidable, because you are a woman, you are feminine, does that stop us from reaching the top? And it really raises that question of, is the system stacked against us in that way, that success is defined by being alpha and by being masculine and by having that really male testosterone filled power? So can we ever succeed in this system? I don't think we can. And I also think that this system only works for a very specific type of man as well. It doesn't work for all men. And I think we're really seeing currently a change, a sea change in what it means to be masculine and men really taking on a different kind of identity. And I massively embrace that. I think the quicker men can be emancipated from the pressure of having to be sort of that traditional masculine role and that traditional masculine way of being, the better. And I think that it works for women as well, massively. The sooner we can change this patriarchal, masculine, testosterone-weighted system that it oppresses everybody, apart from middle-class white men, who it really helps, I think it will be better. The sooner we will see huge change and we will see progression within our society. And finally, I want to talk about what I really feel has been the key theme that has come out of Series 2, and that is the importance of authenticity. Maria Fanzoni mentioned it, Madame Storm mentioned it, Dr. Rehab mentioned it, I'm pretty sure Dr. Rina Wadia mentioned it, I mentioned it, Alice Benham mentioned it, everybody's talking about it, and that's because all these women have really found their voice, and the way they have found it is by being themselves. And that the notion of that is terrifying. It really is scary, especially if you're someone that doesn't particularly like yourself or feel comfortable in your own skin. However, once you own it and you really, truly are yourself, you can't actually fail. Because the only person who knows who you are is you. And the only person that can be you is you. And from that place of authenticity and ownership, everything can flow. And that's where you find your identity. And from your identity comes your beliefs. From your beliefs comes your voice. And from your voice comes your conviction. So I will leave you with that. And I will really look forward to seeing you next series 3. I have already some incredible guests lined up. Dr. Louise Newson, who is one of the leading menopause specialists. Marta from Move with Marta, who is a groundbreaking PT, looking at more than just movement and more than just training, but movement in every direction of your life. And really taking a holistic approach to training, not just looking at running people into the ground, but looking at helping people. So thank you for listening to another episode of the Clear Voice podcast. For the end of series 2, it's over and out. Please share this with anyone who you think would enjoy it. Follow us at Clear Voice Official on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook. And send any questions to hello@clearvoiceofficial.com.